Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to read a few verses to you there, and then God willing we'll speak for a little while about these verses. Isaiah chapter 55, and reading from verse 1. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we, before we come to the word. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the Scriptures this morning, we pray that the Word of God will find entrance into all our hearts and into all our minds, and with that grant, Lord, the response of an acceptance, a receiving, a Lord, a desire to imbibe and be refreshed with the truths of the Word of God. We pray that the Word of Christ would dwell in us richly this morning, Lord. We pray that we would be nourished on the Holy Scriptures and built up in our faith as a result. We pray that, Lord, there would be salvation in this area, in this lost village, really, of Lys. We pray that many will come through to a true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, as we bring this message now, we pray that the anointing of the Spirit of God will be upon my speaking and upon all our hearing, and that as we hear, that we would receive that word by faith, that we might be doers of the word and not hearers only. We ask all these things, Father, wanting to be careful to give thee all the glory in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm really going to focus this morning on the first verse of the passage. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is the divine invitation of God to souls, to come to him. And this figure or image that we have in our text is that of a merchant or a vendor, as is seen in the East, calling out to the people around him, telling them that he has wares for them, the contents of which he has been revealing in chapter 53 and chapter 54 of this book. You see, previously in chapter 53, we read about the sacrifice of the servant, who is, of course, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 7, we read that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. The whole of chapter 53 speaks of what the servant did in order that what the vendor has to give might be available. And in chapter 54, we go on to read about what those good things are that become available for the people of God as a result of the work of Calvary. For example, in verse 7 of chapter 54, we read, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." And the reason that the Lord is going to have mercy on the people is because of the work of the servant of God. Speaking of the Lord Jesus in chapter 53, not only is mercy now afforded to people, but also protection. Go on to verse 17 of 54. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." There are many blessings mentioned, really, in chapter 54 that are the result of chapter 53. And so when you get to chapter 55 and you have the invitation, it's all on the back of what Christ was going to do to save people from a lost eternity. And chapter 54 is all the blessings that flow out to people as a result of what Christ has done for them. And so you get to chapter 55, and the prophet Isaiah, who is evangelistic in his heart, is pleading with people. And he begins by saying, "Ho," he's speaking on behalf of God, of course. He's speaking on behalf of the Lord, and he's beginning to plead with people, to plead with them. There's a call here to those round about. He says, "Ho," which is mainly an attention-getting device for his potential buyers. Remember, this is the whole image of the market here that's being used in this context. And the servant of God is seeking to go out and is seeking for people to buy. But he's not asking them to buy with money. He's not asking them to buy material things. He's got something far better for them than those things. Something of greater worth, something of eternal worth that we're going to see very shortly, God willing. But he begins by getting their attention with this word, "Ho," this attention-getting device. "Look at me," he's saying. "Listen to me. I've got something to give to you. I've got something worthwhile that you desperately need. Turn your attention my way. Turn to me." And in the Hebrew, which is obviously the original language, there is a sense also possibly of pity which comes out through this word "ho" in the translation of the King James, or "come." There's a sense of pity towards the people that is just about to speak to. Now, normally, when you have a vendor going out, they are wanting people's attention to buy things from them so they can get something out of it for themselves, namely cash. But that's not the sense here, obviously, in this passage. We're dealing with things of far more significance, far more weight, far more consequence than that. And the vendor goes out. Really, Isaiah is representing the Lord, and he's saying, "Ho, come to me. I have something you desperately need." Is really the call of the prophet under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he represents the Lord before the people. It's a very similar kind of phrase to what we read in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 when our Lord Jesus is calling to people. And you remember, he basically cries out to them publicly in Matthew 11 and verse 28. We read these words. Jesus himself says, "Come unto me, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This call, this longing to come, to hear, to receive, to buy, is not something which is given to exploit the people. This is something given out of a heart of love for the people. This is what you need. For God so loved the world, didn't he? That he gave his only begotten son. This is the heart of God that comes through Isaiah the prophet when he's calling out in chapter 55. And there's a plea here, there's a longing here, there's a yearning in the heart of the prophet as he's moved in his own heart by the Spirit of God that no doubt yearns within him. Ho, everyone. Now notice that's the next statement in the first verse of Isaiah 55. Everyone. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that have a kind of universalistic aspect to it? It's towards all. It's as though the call goes out indiscriminately. It's to all men, it seems. It's to anyone within earshot. But then the statement is modified. It's not just everyone or anybody, but it's those that are thirsty. So the call goes out. Anybody can hear it. But the call is essentially for those who are thirsty, those that are really longing for water. But of course, the water that is being offered here from God is not simply water that you can get out of a tap. Though, of course, in the East, water was very highly prized. We can get it out of our taps every morning. We get downstairs in the morning, put the taps on, and we have fresh running water. But in the East, it wasn't like that. Water was vital, obviously, for life, as it is for us today, but we know we can get it easily. But in these days, you had to go down into the well and get the water up. But the Lord is not even speaking about natural springs of water or wells or anything of the such. Like, he is speaking about living water. And he goes on to say in this particular text, not only him that is thirsty, but come ye to the water, and he that has no money. What an extraordinary statement for a vendor to make. Come to me if you haven't got any money. That makes no sense whatsoever, does it? Naturally speaking, I was speaking to someone yesterday who's making things, and they with glass, and they're doing artwork, and they're hoping to go out soon as a vendor, and they're going to sell the products that they have, the wares that they have. They're looking for money in return. Nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But there's no way this particular person would make all these things, go out to sell them and say, by the way, don't bring money with you. But this is for those who have no money. This is for those who are thirsty. This is for those who are without money. You see, we are talking about more important things than water. We're talking about more important things than wine or milk, which is mentioned in the first verse. Water speaks of refreshment, wine of exhilaration and enjoyment. Milk speaks of nourishment. All these things are necessary in the natural. These are things that we enjoy, but they're representing something else here in this particular text. The invitation is not to come and buy some milk and some wine. Naturally speaking, this is an invitation to come and buy the blessings of eternal worth and consequence. This is to do with eternal life. This is to do with living water, not natural water. This is to do with the wine of the kingdom, not the wine that you can pour from a bottle into a glass. This is to do with the milk of the Word of God, not to do with milk you buy in the local Tesco store. It's all spiritual. That's what's on offer here. And what is the difference between the natural and the spiritual? Well, it's simply this. You might be very thirsty. You might need a drink of water. But once you've drunk that water, it can only satisfy you for a period of time before you need to drink that water again. Right? You cannot survive on one glass of water. Not even in a day, really. You need constantly to be replenished with water to keep you alive. But of course, even then, if you drink water regularly, you can only survive up to a time. And there come a time when you die. Water doesn't keep you going forever, does it? You still get older. You still get wrinkles. You still age. You still find you have more and more pains in your body as you get older. It's inevitable. But the truth of the matter is the water that the Lord is offering through Isaiah here is water that if you take of it, you will live forever. That's the difference between the natural water and the water the Lord offers. It reminds us of that wonderful moment in John chapter 4 where our Lord Jesus Christ is confronting this woman by the well. Do you remember in chapter 4, the scriptures speak about that there was a woman from Samaria who came unto Jesus. And she says to him, how is it that thou being a Jew asks drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You remember Jesus has said to this woman in Samaria, give me a drink. And this woman, startled by this, she's a woman and she's from Samaria, and a Jew's speaking to her. This is unusual. This doesn't happen. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew. That's the issue, isn't it? If you knew. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You see the difference? Living water. Now the woman says unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She's still thinking on a natural plane. She's still thinking about normal water. She's not thinking spiritually speaking. And then we read in verse 12. She says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's just what I've been saying, isn't it? If you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. Natural water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That's a promise. You'll never be parched again. Well, I want to ask you this morning, have you ever drunk of this water? The water that's mentioned in Isaiah 55. The water that Jesus mentions here in John chapter 4. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now listen to what the woman says afterwards. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. Isn't that interesting? The way Jesus is speaking is somehow having some sort of effect upon this woman to cause her to bring up the matter of the Messiah. I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Isn't it interesting? She left her water pot. You'll leave the natural things when you come to Jesus Christ. I tell you, dear friend. You'll be done with the things that satisfy for a mere time. And I'm not talking about natural water now. You will be done with earthly things because you'll see true value is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, coming back to Isaiah chapter 55 and this glorious first verse. Come. Now, notice within the text also the fact that this is without money and without price. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought of this? Why is it that it is without price? Why is it that it is without money? Why don't you have to buy for it with money? We've talked about the lavish feast, as it were, that the Lord has laid on the table for those who will eat and drink and be filled unto eternal life. Why is it that we don't have to pay for this? And the answer is because somebody else has paid for it. The Lord Jesus has paid for it. The provision of eternal food, nourishment, milk, wine, whatever metaphor you want to use for it. All of these things are barred from mankind. Man is separated from the Lord. He cannot have fellowship with God. And Jesus has come and he has paid the price to deal with the fence that surrounded, as it were, the provisions that are now available. And because of his sacrifice and having paid the price, it means now the fence door is open and you can now come freely without any money and buy and eat and drink and live. But it cost Jesus everything to purchase that. This was no cheap transaction. And none of us know even the half of it. The moment we start even meditating on the work of the cross, we feel that we should take our shoes off and consider we stand on holy ground. This is something different. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Who can speak of the half of all that Jesus went through to purchase this meal for you? It's not simply that he died a martyr's death, friends. The Lord Jesus in the scripture, he's known as the Man of Sorrows. Such a strange name for the Son of God. Man of Sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Lord Jesus throughout his life was constantly living with setbacks and difficulty and hardship and a sense of what was to come was resting on his shoulders as he headed towards Jerusalem. He was going to know the weight of countless numbers of people's sins upon himself. And he was going to know separation from his Father that he'd never known throughout all eternity, as his Father would put the full weight and vent the full wrath of his fury upon his Son for the sins of all these people and spare nothing. There was no mercy in the pouring out of the wrath of God on the day that Jesus died, friends. Nothing was spared. The full vent and weight of God's just anger on sin was meted out on the Son of God without an ounce of mercy. Could you imagine it? If only we could consider something of the torment that the Son of God experienced on Calvary. We would never come to the salvation of God and treat it cheaply. For it cost the Son of God everything to open the way that we might go in and eat and drink freely of the salvation of God. And what are you eating? What are you drinking? You're going to feed on Christ. You're going to drink of him. And you're going to know eternal life. You cannot touch Jesus Christ and be the same person again. It is literally impossible. You might even just touch the hem of his garment, but your impurity will be cleansed completely. It's all because of what Jesus has done. You don't have to pay. You can't pay. You can't purchase your own salvation. You and I are literally the ones that have no money. We are in debt. We are in a terrible debt to God because of the sins we've committed in word, in thought and deed, and the sins that we take so lightly, God takes so seriously. He spared nothing to make sure that all the justice that needed to be meted out upon somebody for our sins to be delivered from us, he made sure that that transaction, that cup, was drunk in full. Jesus didn't leave drop in that cup. So the question is then, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfies not. Isn't it amazing? We have this incredible offer that is given week after week, Sunday after Sunday, in so many churches, faithful churches, up and down the land. Come, drink, come, feed, eat, and you'll live forever. What do I have to pay? Don't have to pay anything. It's all been paid for. It's all been paid for. Yes, it's been purchased with the very life of the Son of God. What do I need to do then? Well, you need to go to that table. But I need to pay something. Just let me give something. No, you can't give anything. You will offend God if you do. Nothing. Nothing. You have to come poor, blind, wretched, naked, and realize you can't do anything to save yourself. And that the only person that can save you is Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Let it be searching to your soul this morning. What do you spend money for? What are you laboring for? Everything we labor for to spend upon ourselves that is just of carnal pleasure will last for but a moment. It never satisfies. You have the best job that you could possibly have, and you spend all your money upon yourself, it will never buy your happiness. Listen. There's wine here. There's milk here. There is water here that lasts forever. Why are you going elsewhere for these things? Jesus Christ alone can satisfy your soul. And all you need to do to find the evidence for this is to look around. Look around the people about you. See the people in the streets. See the people in the cities. See those who are millionaires. See those that are pounding the streets. Look at their eyes, which are the windows to their soul. And you will see emptiness. They've done so many transactions, but they've gone to the wrong market. Doesn't pay off to be putting all your money into sport, all your money into amusement, all your money into clothes, all your money into relationships, all your money into getting famous or becoming popular. Isn't it amazing? People pay out to get a thrill that will last them for at best the rest of earthly days. At very best. And Jesus, through the prophet, the Lord God, through the prophet, comes to the people and says, listen to me. Forget those things out there, as it were. Forget those things that cannot satisfy you. A bigger, better, this or that. Come to me. You won't have to bring your cash with you, mind. And I tell you something, one of the reasons you won't need to bring your cash is because you could never afford the salvation that Jesus offers. You could never buy with money what God has purchased for you through his Son. Not if you were the most wealthy man in the whole world. But you know, dear friends, we can be poor and be longing after wrong things. And we think, if only I had this, if only I had a bigger house, if only I had a better car, if only I had a better job at work, if only I could go up one more level, everything would be better for me. If only I could do this and do that, then my quality of life would improve. And everybody's interested in their quality of life on this earth, which is passing away. And dear friends, there's nobody in this room that won't be in eternity in 100 years' time. In 100 years' time, only that which has been in Christ will last. Where's your priorities? Where are my priorities? What matters to us? Friends, this is the heart of God, his mercy. His grace. He's coming to us today and he's offering you something. Something that you cannot buy. Something that you cannot afford. Something that you can't make happen. Something that cost him everything to make it possible. And that is your soul. Your precious, precious soul. The real you that goes into eternity. That soul will be preserved forever and evermore. He goes on to say in this passage in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There's coming a day where it would be too late to buy from this market. Either you would have gone into eternity, or Jesus Christ would have come back. There's coming a day where this market will be shut. We are living in the age of grace. While you have opportunity, lay hold on Jesus Christ. Make the right transaction. You say, well, what do I need then? If I don't have money, okay, I understand this. I don't need to give money. I don't need to give, I can't give anything. I'm out of pocket. What do I need to do? Well, are there any conditions in the text? Yes. Oh no, what are the conditions then? What do I need to do to be saved then? What do I need to do to make sure my soul doesn't go down to a lost eternity in hell? What do I need to do so that I never know separation from God again? What do I need to do? And the answer is, there's nothing you can do of yourself. It's a condition you need, a disposition of heart. What is it then? Well, firstly, you need to be thirsty. Do you know, dear friends, I go out onto the streets and sometimes I witness with people, and I've done it in various places and had a number of opportunities. If I see somebody is just going to mock the word of God, I will not stay with them. I'm not interested in casting pearls before swine. Forget it. Don't labour for it. If somebody's going to mock Jesus Christ and just seek to taunt in a way to get an argument going, don't cast what is precious to them. Tell them, I'll see you again when you have your need, when you see your need. But when people come, and they do sometimes, and they see their need, it's not often, it's not common. We live in a nation that is representative of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are wallowing in sin up to our necks and above in this nation that once knew the gospel. Yet, although the light of many churches, and there are churches, buildings up and down this land, that have now become museums, mosques, pubs, and have had Ichabod written over the top of them because they weren't standing for the word of God. It's so tragic. Yet, although the lamp has grown very faint and there is but a dim light left in our nation, when once there used to be a fire blazing through the land of gospel truth, there yet remains a little flicker. And there are times when you come across people and they actually are thirsty. And you say, well, let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. He's the one that is able to quench that thirst. I can tell you, somebody who's thirsty will not keep on saying, well, let me pay something. They're parched. If you have somebody who's been in a wilderness for a number of days under the beating heat of the sun, and somebody comes along to that person and has water with them, you can be sure that the person who's parched and nearly dead will not be saying, how much do I need to pay you for this water? Are you sure it's okay for me to have it? What are they going to do with that water? They're going to grab it off you, right? The greatest need in this nation is a sense of need. It's missing. Have you got a sense of need? Have I got a sense of need? We need the living water. You can't purchase it with money. You've got nothing to give. You come to Christ. You fall down before him and you forsake your ways. Lord, I want to forsake all my wicked ways. I want to forsake all my godless ways, all my unrighteous ways. Lord, help me to to deal with my unrighteous thoughts, my ungodly thoughts, to be done with them. Oh, may I turn to the Lord. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Why will the Lord have mercy upon you? He will have mercy because you've come, and you're thirsty, and you're hungry, and you want to do his will. Well, dear friends, you say, I haven't got a thirst. Ask the Lord to give you a sense of need. And he will do it. Our God is not a stingy God. Our God is not a God who begrudgingly opens his table to people who are hungry and thirsty and wishes that he didn't have to. Our God is one who goes out into the street and says to people, under the instrumentality of his servants, come, come to the table. Please, you need living water. Buy, eat, drink, feast on my son. Come to me. What an invitation. Many people have invitations given to them for many different reasons. We had an invitation recently to go to a wedding that we went to yesterday. It's a blessing to get an invitation to go to something. You don't have to pay for it. It's an invitation. It's paid for. You're invited to come to this celebration, to that wedding. And so if there's an invitation to come, for example, to a wedding and it's a friend, you'll make sure that that's in the diary, won't you? That's an important event. A funeral service of a close friend. You're going to go to that. But what about the invitation of the living God? Who will come to that? Come. No, you can't afford it, but you don't have to dig in your pocket. Just need to have a heart that wants to be right with God. It's so simple, really, but it's so profound. It cost Jesus everything, Isaiah 53, to give you multiplied blessing upon blessing, Isaiah 54. Come then, Isaiah 55 says. Come. Come today, drink, feast on Christ, and you will live forever. Let's pray together.